It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, a winner's edition following up the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals. That's right, we got it in. No rain, no postponement. It was smooth as can be, and you're going to hear from the winners. We've got Antron Brown going to be on the show, first two-time winner in Top Fuel of 2015. That tells you all you need to know about how Top Fuel is going this season. We're going to speak with AB just a couple of minutes from now. In Funny Car, could there have been a more popular victory than Tim Wilkerson? Everybody wants to win, but when Wilk wins, I think everybody's a little bit happy. We're going to hear from Tim Wilkerson in a very wide-ranging interview that you are going to love in just a little bit. So fans of Wilk, Wilk's Warriors, stick around. You don't have to vote this year for Wilk. He's in the Traxxas Shootout. We'll speak with Tim Wilkerson in a few moments from now. Pro Stock fans, Jason Line. As a Summit Racing Equipment team of KB Racing, Greg and Jason, they make the final round. That's doing their job at the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals. They made the final. Jason won it. Jason going to be on this show. And a whole ton of Jason Line bobbleheads bobbling out there as well. We're going to talk about that. Very cool promotion by the folks at Summit Racing Equipment. And Hector Arana. Talk about a drought being broken. 2009 is last win. He wins it. We're going to speak with the Hammer on this show, winner's edition from the Southern Nationals, and we kick them all off the same way with the voice of the NHRA, who is out there somewhere in this great land of ours, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. Great to be back. Yeah, I'm enjoying a little Americana here for a couple of days on the way to Kansas.
That is cool. So what region of the country are you in at this moment?
I am in Adairville, Kentucky, at my buddy Scott Price's farm. He and I have known each other for years. He's a boat racer going back to the old Top Alcohol, Hydro, Top Fuel boats called Kentucky Thunder. He campaigned, and we've known each other for a long time. Don't get to see each other very often. So from a geographic standpoint, this was about as close as I'm going to be for a while. I figured, hey, I'm going to swing by and see him for a day or two. So hanging out at the farm.
That is super cool. Taking a little time to recap this Southern Nationals. I got to overload because I've been to the track now 3 years. This is the first time I got to see the winner's circle, so I'm just thrilled that we got it in. Once I get beyond that, though, this was a very special event. We had a great crowd. The fans were very into it, fired up, excited about what was going on, and they saw great racing that was nearly uninterrupted by anything.
Yeah, it was a very nicely run, very clean show. We had a couple of sportsman cars that had issues on Friday that backed us up just a little bit, but Saturday was out, you know, nice and early enough in the evening that we could all go have a nice dinner, and Sunday, handing out trophies with the sunshine, and, you know, I made that comment on Friday when we got there. My goal is to hand out trophies Sunday while the sun is still up, and we were able to accomplish that, but it was a tremendous show on the racetrack. As you mentioned, just about no downtime, and great racing, lots of surprises, and just a tremendous race.
I'm down there on the starting line to gather interviews with winning crew chiefs and such, and there was no break in the action. It was just two more, two more, two more. If you're a fan of watching cars go down the track and racing, nothing to complain about here. It's amazing how the emphasis, and I'm going to give credit to the NHRA and rules and the whole carrot and stick approach we talked about at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's just me, but it feels like we're seeing less fluid on the racetrack.
I don't think there's any question we're seeing less fluid on the racetrack. You know, obviously the crews and the crew chiefs are taking it seriously. NHRA, as you mentioned, with the new package in place, where you will be penalized or you will be rewarded. So go do yourself some good. And the guys have gotten a little bit more ingenuitive, I guess, about keeping the stuff contained. And there also have not been as many boomers as of late. Not a whole lot of explosions, not a lot of stuff blowing up, and that's good for everybody. For as much as we hate it for the fans, if the safety safari's out there on the track doing a long cleanup, obviously the team owner has spent a lot of money. The racetrack crew gets pressed into service. It's hard on the fans. It's hard on everybody. And when they can keep them clean, everybody wins. So everybody has worked together to make this happen, and everybody deserves a slice of the credit as well.
Right at the start of the show, before we get into each individual class and your thoughts about it, I want to entertain the person that clicks on the link and is looking for information about Kansas. Going on this weekend, we talked about it last weekend, that people in the area, in the region, need to know the tour is going to Topeka and hoping and looking for and imploring all the fans out there to represent in a big way this Memorial Day weekend to demonstrate that there are a lot of drag racing fans in the area, and I can't think of a better race to be moving on from than Atlanta.
No, we've definitely got strong momentum coming off of Atlanta going into Topeka. As you mentioned, very popular winners. It's just been a tremendous year. We've had some great side-by-side racing. We've had a lot of surprises going on out there. With Antron being only the first guy to win more than once in Top Fuel, the days of showing up and going, okay, well, who's John Force going to race in the final, or who's Tony Schumacher going to race in the final, are long gone. You show up out there and be genuinely, I think, entertained and often genuinely surprised, because you don't know what's going to happen until they get up there and stand on the gas, and then you get to see it unfold in front of you. I don't like watching a baseball game that's 18 to nothing, even if my team's got the 18. It's just not entertaining. I think drag racing loses something in years when John Force wins 12 or 14 races, or Tony Schumacher goes out and wins 15 races, or the years when Greg Anderson had all his dominance. I think that it really loses something for the fans. So sure, if you're a Greg Anderson fan, you love it. If you're Greg Anderson, obviously you love it. But if you're, a more casual fan that just wants to go out and see a great show, you want to see a good show. You don't want to go out there knowing who's going to win or knowing something strange is going to happen for them not to win. And that's what we've got right now. We've got great, great parity across the classes. You look at the Pro Stock Motorcycles, had two Suzukis qualified, 1 and 2, which hasn't happened in a long time. And then, the racing was just unpredictable. I think it's probably the best word for it.
Let's get into it. Top Fuel, where Antron Brown wins his first two-wide race of the season, as I understand it, having won four wide. So really, it is a kind of a thing going. The streak almost continues.
Yeah, and Antron, joked about the winner's circle, the fact that he should buy a house there. He spent a lot of time going to that race when he was a youngster, because geographically it was not too far from his grandfather's home. So it's a fact that he's very familiar with. He won twice back in the Pro Stock Motorcycle days, and now his fourth win in Top Fuel. But it was not, you would look at the stat and go, okay, well, Antron qualified number one and won the race. He obviously ran away with the weekend, but that really wasn't the way it went. He had a great car, no question about it. But the racing was tremendous. Leah Pritchett being in the final round was something I don't think a whole lot of people would have penciled in at the beginning of the day. Although, if I'm beating on my chest a little bit, I said Saturday night, if I draw Leah in the pool, I'm not feeling too bad. She had a great car. Qualified third, which was the highest she's ever been. Ran in the 70s on Friday night when everybody else was doing that. And also had a good, consistent car when the sun was out. That car will win probably sooner, better, and as opposed to later. And it sure would be nice to see that be a full-time team on tour. Leah obviously is a fan favorite. She's well spoken. She's an attractive lady. She gets it, and she's got the ability to drive a race car. And it is a first class operation that the Doat family has put together. They bring a nice car to the starting line, a clean car, a fast car, a competitive car, and it's just a shame that they're not out on the full tour.
Absolutely. At the moment, though, hopefully they are able to awaken some people out there and corporate America who are looking to partner with someone who is clearly the future of the sport. She is the total package, the racer's racer, working hard both on the track and behind the scenes to build something from nothing. Just the way the deal has come together to this point, she has traveled a million miles to get it to where it is right now, and the Doat family, they're sneaking up on it. That is for sure. On the other side of the semifinal ladder, though, Terry McMillan and Rob Wendlin getting down the track, run some consistent 390s to go up against Antron. That was a big deal. Larry Dixon, Mike Guger getting to the semifinals. So we're starting to see some mixing up. You really get the feeling that anybody can win from any qualifying position on any given weekend.
And, you know, from the wackiness factor, you know, Terry McMillan, congratulations on making it to the semis. Didn't overpower anybody, really, but just was going down the racetrack, and some of the other guys weren't. And you know what? Sometimes that's just the way to go. Is, you know we can't maybe overpower them, but let's not give one away. And that's kind of the philosophy that Terry and the guys over there are taking right now. But you just go, you know, the first round of Top Fuel, which took all of, what, 20 minutes maybe to complete, 19 minutes to complete, with the cars just, you know, as soon as the chutes were out, almost they were following the next pair. But Tony Schumacher, who has been very well documented, the fact that he just can't seem to find a way to get a trophy out of Atlanta for all the success he's had, qualified very well, pulls up in the first round, had the better reaction time, runs 3.79, and got sent to Topeka early. It was just like one of those kind of fun, entertaining races. J.R. Todd double stepped, didn't red light, and got the win. I mean, are you kidding me? When's the last time that happened? So it was just fun to watch.
Yeah, Tony with the third quickest ET of first round loses to low ET of the first round. That's just bad luck. I'm sure he took it in stride, though, but still kind of brutal. Now moving over to Funny Car, where Tim Wilkerson, come on, this guy has been so close. You've been talking about it. Had a great car. How many times, Alan, have you seen a team find it, the combination, perform well, and just things don't materialize and they're unable to capitalize? Tim, they finally broke through. They were able to capitalize. And what was a pretty dominant weekend for them, from first run down the track where they didn't get a time to the final run where they were able to score the victory.
Yeah, there was an electronic glitch in the first qualifying run, and you know, everything obviously is perfect until you get into the nitro cars, and because they are, you know, so much louder and so much more intense, my understanding is that something vibrated loose in one of the timing sensors on the starting line, causing an erroneous time to come up. And you know, once that was fixed, there wasn't another problem all weekend. But you know, Tim, even though he didn't get a legitimate time on that run, obviously he gets the data off the computer recorder, and he was pretty happy with the car. Came back, ran very well in the night session, and then you know, Tim was one of the guys that, you know, every single run down the racetrack he went, didn't smoke the tires, didn't have a problem, didn't have an issue. The worst run he made all weekend was in the final, and with Ron Capps in the other lane, Ron got into trouble early, and Tim's car didn't start mixing up stuff until about 600-700 feet, and by then the race was pretty much over. He you know, kind of coasted across the finish line, but yeah, very popular victory. Seattle of 11 was the last time that that Tim had been in the winner's circle, but he's had a car that's just been so good, and all he needed was for the bad luck to stop. You know, the classic Warren Johnson line: I would never dream about asking for good luck. Just make the bad luck stop, and I'll take it from there. And this weekend, it looked like the bad luck finally left town for Tim, and he was able to capitalize.
Very popular victory, and it seems like everybody likes Wilk for the gutsy way that they run their team on a relatively low budget, and has success. One wonders what he could do if he did get an influx of money or a top tier. Not that Levi Ray and Schaup is a low tier sponsor, but if he got a big marketing program, I always wonder what Wilkerson could do.
Well, you know, he's shown what he's capable of. Finished second in the championship when the early years of the countdown, when, you know, he led basically the regular season, and has just always been a top tier contender. You know, part of the things that some of the other guys spend budget on, whether it's big hospitality, whether it's this or that, you know, Tim does a limited program with that, because with his association with Dick Levi, depending on what market they're in or where they're racing, it doesn't make sense to pull one of those big hospitality rigs around with him. But Tim definitely puts on a first class program for his guys, for, you know, everybody that's involved with him, and he's a regular guy, and I think that's part of the reason flock to him. He's a guy that ran a service center. I mean, ran a garage in Springfield, Illinois, and started racing a little bit as a hobby and kind of got more into it. But he still comes across as the guy at the corner of the garage that you go talk to when you're going, hey, how come my check engine light is on? And he still is just that regular guy that the fans can relate to. And I think that says a lot about his popularity.
Absolutely, it does. We're going to hear from Tim coming up in just a little bit, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Tim Wilkerson. It's been a long time since we had him on as a winner here on WFO Radio. You can go back, though, and find the last time we had him on in the archive. You're going to love it. Now Pro Stock, KB Racing, Summit Racing Equipment, they brought it when they had to at their sponsor's race with Jason Lyne coming out on top.
Yeah, Greg Anderson, you know, really shouldn't have been there. And not because his car doesn't perform and not because he's not deserving, but when you have the throttle stick wide open on the burnout, shut the car off, and the guys all go out and push you back, you just almost never get a second chance. One of his crew guys was able to reach inside the scoop and get the throttle unstuck so he could start the car and stage the car, and that saved his day. You know, from then on, he was pretty solid on performance. You know, but Pro Stock, and you know, I know I sound like a broken record, and if you're, you know, under 30 years old and going, what's a record? Well, I don't want to hear it. But you really go in not knowing who's going to win. You know, Erica's got a great car. Jason and Greg both have great cars. Chris McGahee, even though he struggled in qualifying, has a great car out there right now. Larry Morgan has shown what he's capable of. The racing is, you know, more often than not decided by inches, and it's just a fun time to be a fan right now. It was a big deal for Greg and Jason, obviously, the Summit Racing Equipment event. Summit's hometown, you know, McDonough, Georgia, just down the street. And all of the big wigs in attendance, all of the guys that keep their race team afloat were there, and for them to go out and make that happen, a lot of smiling faces in the winner's circle. You know, Tim also being a Summit car, and then, of course, Lang in Pro Mod is a Summit car. So the title ride sponsor had a pretty good weekend with Kenny Lang and the KB team and Tim Wilkerson all making it pay.
We've got an on-location interview with Kenny Lang as well, very fired up after winning his first Pro Modified race in a couple of years. Now, we're going to speak with Jason, and I'm going to get Jason's opinion on the all-new Camaro 6 as a Camaro driver. But you know what else I'm going to ask him about, Alan?
Oh, what would that be?
That would be the big maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not going to happen match race against Alan Reinhart.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about that. I'm at this point pretty confident, and I've kind of got all my cards on the table, so let's have to wait and see what he comes up with.
Well, that's what makes it fun. You know, we're watching, like, the momentum swing back and forth, and it's everybody's interested in it, and will it happen? Who knows what will happen? But I will ask Jason just another reason for everybody to stick around for Jason's interview. What does he think now that Reinhart has laid his cards on the table? That's the thing, Alan. You've laid your cards on the table.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. You know, Jason and I are a couple of car guys that are, I don't know if he'll agree to this, but pretty good friends. And we've been having some fun with this. I mean, how many times have you sat around with your buddies going, yeah, wait till I get my car done. Yeah, well, I'll show you when I get my car done. Well, I'll show you. And that's kind of the position that we're in. You know, the fact that we live on opposite sides of the country makes it a little bit more difficult to get together and actually run them head to head. But we've been having some fun with it and kind of going back and forth. And you know, the tweeting pictures of, you know, hey, look at the new part I bought for my car, or the, hey, look what I'm doing to my car this week. We're just having some fun with it, and hopefully we will be able to put them side by side on the same racetrack. At that point, whatever happens, happens. But in the meantime, we're just two car guys that are bench racing, you know, from 2,000 miles apart instead of right next to each other all the time.
And that is the backbone of the whole sport. That's the reason the whole sport exists, that kind of conversation. And my Summit Racing Equipment, Jason Lyne, bobbling head, is agreeing with you. So the bobblehead agrees.
You know, I somehow got out of there and did not get one of those. I'm really kind of disappointed with that. As soon as you mentioned it, I thought, that's what I forgot to do. But maybe somebody's got an extra one laying around that I think
Jason in the interview says there might be some more out there, might continue on. Because he was actually, he said it was a kind of a goof at first, and then he saw it and he loves it. It's that kind of thing, you know. And in the past couple of years, when the economy has been tough, maybe promotions like this weren't the primary thing to think about, but now as things are getting better, I think it's cool to see little deals like this coming back, and it is very cool to see Jason hanging out at the top of his Summit Racing Equipment Camaro.
Yeah, it's a pretty cute little bobblehead, and that's one of the reasons I want to get one. Maybe I'll shoot Jason a text and see if he's got an extra one that he'll bring to Topeka for me or something. But no, it's a great promotion. And, you know, if you're Jason, I would think you would want it to continue on, because we all know that racers are superstitious. And to my knowledge, I might have to check with, you know, the stat guy on this, but to my knowledge, Jason Lyon has never been beaten at a pro stock race where they were giving away Jason Lyon bobbleheads. So just something to think about.
Something to think about. Pro stock, another large, long drought. Hector Arana, back to 2009. Here's a guy that I feel close to because he started out in Miami, coming to my local track, and as a test and tune guy, got his first pro stock motorcycle. We're like, wow, this guy is really serious. Goes up to Gainesville a couple of years, then qualifies, then wins, then goes on to win a championship. Then his family is out there. A very defined climbing of the ladder. It had been a while, but he goes out there and wins a race, catches some breaks, certainly on the tough side of the ladder, had to go through both Harleys, had to beat Jimmy Underdahl and his son, Hector Jr. At the end of the day, Hector Arana holding the trophy.
Yeah, that was also a pretty popular win. You know, Hector is another one of the man of the people kind of guys out there in the pro stock bike pits. It was very strange just the way the whole thing played out. You know, the two Harleys struggled most of the weekend. You know, Eddie certainly had the better of the two bikes, but Andrew qualified in the bottom half of the field, and that's one of those "what are you kidding me" moments. They never really flexed any performance muscle until the semifinals. Karen Stouffer looked like she absolutely positively had the bike to beat. You know, number one qualifier for the first time in a while, I believe third time in her career. You know, obviously, good confidence level after coming off the win in Gainesville a couple of events ago. And then she ends up red by 0.02 of a second, and all of a sudden that side of the ladder is wide open. You know, there were a lot of starting line miscues by the Pro Stock Motorcycle group, and, you know, I bumped into Eddie at the hotel at the end of the day after it was all over with and was talking to him, and I, you know, kind of good-naturedly told him, I said, you had no business even being in the final. And he said, oh, no doubt. He said, you know, if Karen doesn't go red, then she probably crushes him in the second round, but... You know, with Karen doing that, that allowed the number 16 qualifier, Angie Smith, to advance, giving Eddie a certainly more favorable matchup than the number one qualifier, who had run low ET of every round. You know, he gets by that one. They still did not have the performance in the bike. He ends up in the semifinals, and that's when they finally looked like they had found the combination that they'd been missing. The 690 that he ran in the semis was a real eye-opening run. And then he gets to the final round, has mechanical issues. And I'm not saying that Hector wasn't going to outrun him anyway, but it was just a wacky day in Pro Stock Motorcycle and another very popular winner.
Yeah, Karen, red lights away, low ET of the meet. Angel, red lights away, a 688. Just weird runs, weird races all around. But in the end, it was very entertaining, and someone's got to win, and Hector was the guy who was able to stand up to it all. Pro Modified, Kenny Lang, Greg Rowe in Super Stock. He won last year in Stock. Slate Cummings won in Stock. Ryan Richardson won in Super Comp. He won last year in Super Stock. So kind of weird doubling going on. Tim Powell in Super Gas. Matt Weston winning his first national in Super Street. Sandy Wilkins in Top Sportsman. And Lindsay Barker, her husband, made the final in Top Sportsman. She wins it in Top Dragster. A lot of happy people at the end of this Southern Nationals.
Yeah, it was just a tremendous event. You know, anytime that it runs on schedule, it runs on time, we don't have weather issues, you know, the Parade of Champions coming back down in front of the big grandstands there at Atlanta and having an opportunity to spend some time and, you know, say hey to the fans and talk about the cars is a special moment. It was just a good, clean, fun race. I think, you know, other than Danny Rowe, who got crossed up when the parachutes came out way down in the shutdown area, I think that was the only contract with concrete that we had all weekend long. And as you mentioned, minimal cleanups, especially in the pro ranks, next to none, just make it for a good, smooth, fun event.
Absolutely, it did. It was a great time, and we'll have a little bit of time to digest it. But then Kansas this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, of course, a very solemn but fun holiday in the United States of America with all the racing on. And NHRA is back on track out there in Topeka, Kansas, Heartland Park, Topeka. We're telling everybody, hey, make sure you go out there, represent, and support drag racing. If not this event, then when? To send a message to the local community that drag racing brings in a ton of money. Of course, you will be there. I will be watching on television and checking it out on the stream. I certainly enjoyed being out there this weekend. It was a great time.
Yep, looking forward to Kansas. There are going to be a lot of people watching the Topeka race for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, as you said, I think it's very important for us to put on a great show, put our best foot forward, and hopefully have that place jam-packed with supportive fans to show people that there is a legitimate reason that that racetrack is worth is
That is a fact, and you might only get one opportunity to make that statement, so certainly try to make it. Alan, great job as usual. I don't even know how to handle the fact that we're doing a winter show about Atlanta without any rain. I love it.
I do, too. Hopefully we can keep that trend continuing in Topeka and beyond. Looking forward to it. We're off to a tremendous start the first quarter of the season. Let's just keep it rocking.
All right, Alan. Great job as usual. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Joe. Talk to you soon.
There he goes, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart. It was just an awesome week out there in ATL. I got to do some cool Atlanta things. I'll tell you about those at the tail end of the show. You're going to hear from Kenny Lang and Pro Modified. You're going to hear from Michael Gwynn and Red from Antron's team. Big WFO radio listeners out there who are also victorious in Top Fuel from our on-location Winter Circle interview. You're going to hear from Hector Arana. You're going to hear from Tim Wilkerson. You're going to hear from Jason Line. And you're going to hear from Antron Brown when we come back. But first, I want to tell all you folks out there, I've been telling you every week, you know I'm not a lawyer for Spiegel & Utrera PA, but I am very interested in the success of your business as they are. They have something called the General Counsel Club. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're someone out there who is trying to get something going in your life, now is a great time to start a business. But the way to do it is undefined, and you might have questions, and you might want to try to avoid potential mistakes out there in your business. Well, the folks at Spiegel & Utrera PA have the General Counsel Club. And right now, from New York to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and all places in between, they are offering a 30-day free membership to the General Counsel Club. Well, what is it? It affords you free legal advice at the other end of your phone line. No credit card, no obligation. You don't have to do anything other than go to WFOradio.com, our homepage, click on the banner ad right there on the right-hand side that says AmeriLawyer.com, free legal advice for fans and friends of WFO, and fill out the information. They will send you a printed edition of their Entrepreneurs Alert newsletter. They will give you an 800 number to call if you have questions. And we're talking about how to buy or sell a business. We're talking about how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses. We're talking about whether to buy or sell equipment for your business. Documenting of trademarks or copyrights or documents, if you need a contractor's agreement for someone who's going to work for you, and you might not have given every detail, depth thought about what is the best way to handle something. Well, the folks at Spiegel & Utrera PA have been doing this for years. They specialize in it, especially things regarding the IRS. You can go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, and fill out the information. Give it a test drive. No credit card, no obligation. They're big supporters of WFO Radio, and they want to help you get your business going and offer advice on how to maximize your opportunity when avoiding mistakes. They believe that knowledge is power and that understanding your business is their business. So go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad on the right-hand side of the homepage, and get your 30 free days. And check out the General Counsel Club from Spiegel & Utrera PA, and I think you will see that they can be very helpful for any questions that you might have with your business. We're going to be back with Antron Brown, then Tim Wilkerson, then Jason Line, then Hector Arana, then on location from Atlanta Dragway and the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open, it's W. F. O.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Your dad wants a tie for Father's Day. I'm afraid he's not going to get it. Because when two 10,000 horsepower nitromethane burning dragsters or funny cars face off, they never tie. Get Dad what he really wants. Tickets to the NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Father's Day weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Tickets start at just $25. For purchase the whole weekend for just $79. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit thundervalleychicks.com.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
It's great to be on your show, man. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Get ready for the winter views, NHRA fans. And if this is your first time listening to WFO Radio, this is what we do. Every week after a national event, you hear the winners, the behind the scenes, the details, and joining us now, your Top Fuel winner, Antron Brown. AB, welcome back.
Joe, it's good to be back, man. Hey, man, it's always good to be talking to you after a race. That means that that our team has done something exceptionally well, and we did. We had a great week in Atlanta, man. I mean, I couldn't dream up or even wish or even imagine for the kind of weekend that we had in Atlanta. It was just a great weekend.
Absolutely. First two-time winner of 2015. That's saying something about just what kind of year is happening out there.
Absolutely. I mean, our class right now, and all the class, not just Top Fuel, but in all NHRA male yellow racing right now, is just, it's been incredible. It's been very incredible, very intense. Got a lot of viewership. People are watching. You know what I mean? So we're keeping it exciting. It's very exciting out there because all the teams went and did their work, brother. They're doing their homework. They're working on it, man. They're working on their packages. They're making them better. They're massaging them. And that's what it takes, man. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of brain trust to make those things happen right now, man. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of the team that I'm on at Don Schumacher Racing with Ryan, Karate, and Mark Oswald, my two chiefs, Brad, Mike, Red, Wayne, Matt, Kyle, Chris, Brian. I mean, we have an incredible team over there, man, and I just love being a part of those guys and just being with them, man. We're definitely got a good family thing going on right now, and that's how we are. We're besides the team, we're family. We hang with each other. We live and die with each other, and I think that's what it takes to get through those hard times. And when you go through hard times, it makes it a lot better and easier to get through when you're going through it with family, and that's what my team is. They're my family.
Later on in this show, you're going to hear from Mike and Red, caught up with them in the winner's circle, and those guys are just absolutely awesome, giving us a little insight into what they go through and how important a deal this team is. Let's talk about your race day, starting off with a run against Sean Langdon. Before we do that, you know what I forgot all about, Antron, was your semi-negative experience at this race last year. You tagged the wall, it was a bad deal, and you come back and you win the race the next year. It was almost erased from my memory. I know you guys were thinking about it, though. It's got to feel great to be able to rebound like that At a track you've had traditional success at, four wins in Top Fuel, two in motorcycle. The crowd certainly used to seeing you win, but last year didn't go the way you wanted. This year you really turned it around.
No, it didn't. But a lot of people forget about last year too, Joe, is that I always go back to my team. It's like a broken record. But we had that mishap where we backfired, took the manifold apart. The manifold came apart, took out the rear tire, and I had an accident where I hit the wall because I got the rear tire and the rear wing. Well, a lot of people forgot that. My guys brought our backup car down for the next day, and we go back out, and first lap down the racetrack, we go out there, and we ran like low 18, went out there and went a 374. So that's credit being due. Like, I was already over Atlanta when we brought the backup car out. We went right back down the boulevard, and we set low ET like that. We didn't win the race, of course. My teammate Spencer did, because we ended up spinning the tires the next round. But the thing about it was is that we already got over by jumping back in the car coming out like that. And then this year, we just came in Atlanta treating it like any other race we do. We came in, and we've been preparing, and we were working hard. The 2 weeks we had off weren't 2 weeks off. There were 2 weeks of dedication and going out there, getting the things done that we needed to get done, going to work. We went to work. We put some OT in. And sometimes it pays off, sometimes it don't. In this circumstance, it paid off big dividends for us because we learned so much with our six-disc program and our clutch area and our car and the whole combination. You know, and it's not just a disc, but power level, everything else goes into play. It is getting that perfect balance right. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You have to have that balance to make those things happen like we did this last weekend. And it was one of those weekends we just couldn't do no wrong. Brian and Mark were calling the shots, and they were like, you know, we're going to do this. The conditions were like this. And they went, bam. They did it, and the car should run this, and the car ran that. And that's remarkable when, you know, the crew chiefs definitely feel good when they get in the element to when they can make that change. And the car does what they want it to do, and the car goes down the track. And that's when you get the results that we got, man. And my hats are off to them and to all of our crew, because we also blew up first round. So there was a lot of stuff going on this weekend that we overcame and got through, and we were still able to sneak out there with that win.
First round, you had to go up against Sean Langdon. That's got to be rough. You're the number one qualifier, and your present is Sean Langdon in the first round. You got around them, though. A second round, Doug Coletta, most recent winner out there on the tour. You get by Doug, so two heavy hitters who have been winning, though. And then in the semis, it's kind of a different situation in that you got to go up against Terry McMillan, and if there is a hungrier team and driver out there, I can't think of one, you're able to get around Terry. Then the final round, Leah Pritchett, who I think, and most people agree, is very good for the sport, a talented young racer, doing virtually everything, the marketing and the driving herself, kind of building a team with the Doat Family Racing Team and Gumout Racing in that final round. Tell me about getting ready for the final against Leah and knowing that you've had a consistent hot rod, you're going to have to put it on her on the starting line.
Well, if you look at it, like, you know, you look at your opponent and you look at and you have to strategize, and you got to try to figure out what can you take advantage of, and what can you do, like, you know, what do you need to do that's going to help you, like, you know, in that final and get the win. And we were all talking about amongst the team, like, we have, like, our little round-to-round strategy, what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and we're looking back, and Leah was on fire, you know what I mean? And Cook and Flynn, and that whole Doat Racing Team was doing an incredible job throughout the whole weekend. I mean, they qualified third. She ran a 77. Then she came out first round. She ran a good ET first round. And then second round, she dropped low ET on everybody. She went an 81. So the car was just on a string. It was on a roll. And then Leah was, oh, she's always there. Don't let her looks fool you. You know what I mean? I tell people that all the time. Don't let that beautiful smile fool you. That girl is like a straight, like lion. She smiles at you and she wants to bite your head off, man, on the start line. You know what I mean? I mean, she wants it. And then when you went to the semifinals, she went a 93 and we went a 91 when the track was the highest it has been all weekend. So we only had like maybe a hunt on her right there, and they spun and went a 93. So then we look back and say, you know what, we got to run in the 80s. We got, even though the track is the same temperature, and Brian and Mark looked at it, and we picked on a couple areas where we were like, all right. They said, you know, we can make it run better here, run better there. We'll just let it go down track through there, and we just put it on, and we didn't take her lightly. Now I had to be on my game on the tree, and the crew guys couldn't make one mistake on the car, and everything just lined up for us. Like, everything that we designed and wanted the car to do, it did, and we're able to sneak out there with that win, you know what I mean? So with that being said, that we were really fortunate, really blessed, but through Lord knows through all the hard work, I mean, it came back to our team definitely tenfold with that win this weekend.
You retook the points lead, now 53 points up on your teammate Tony Schumacher, who Atlanta has just not been the place that he runs well. Of course, he'll bounce back this weekend in Kansas. Speaking of which, Kansas, we are going all out to make sure that the race fans know that this weekend is a great weekend to show up and show your sport for the sport of drag racing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Topeka is going to be a really, really good event. NHRA's, we always have a lot of fan appeal out there. The weather's going to be beautiful this weekend, like mid-60s. That means there's going to be some good ET. NHRA, we've been talking to them. They've been keeping all of us racers and everybody, just aware of what's happening, where they've been working on at that facility for the last, like, several weeks, prepping it, getting it ready. Everything's going to be, like, right on point, so we expect nothing less but the best from our sanctioning body, because they always do a great job, and we're just looking out to get out there, man, and give some more of our Midwest folks out there some nitro action, and we want to go out there, and that's one race track that I always want to do well at, and qualify well, never won there, so we're just going to go out there and give it all we got and see if we can pull out the hat this week and see what we can bring it home. That's what our goal is, to go out there and try to bring it home. So we'll see what we can do.
Now we're going to let you run because I know you got a big international call in coming moments from now. But real quick question, you know, I was hanging with your guys. It was broiling hot out there. I'm looking around for the shade. There's one shady spot on the starting line, and you got Brad and Mark and Brian. They're all huddled under there having their meeting, and I was like, I'm going in. And sure enough, they were the smartest ones on the ground. But my question is, the big cats, Antron, you're talking about jaguars and lions and whatnot. We were joking around about the puma. And what's up with the big cats, and is there potential for an Antron nickname there?
Hey, I don't know. That's for that. You know, you never give yourself a nickname. That's always given to you by other people, you know. So I don't know, Joe. You might be starting something new.
I like it. I like the puma. This guy, he's in it. Yeah. He's ready to pounce.
Yes.
But when your name is AB, though, that's kind of, it's just so easy, but it rolls off the tongue.
Yep, and it makes it easy and simple. Easy and simple.
There you go. AB going from A to B all the time. Antron, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. Congratulations on your win. Have a great Memorial Day weekend out there in Topeka, Kansas. And who knows, we might even be talking to you next week.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much for everything, my friend.
There he goes, Antron Brown, Top Fuel winner at the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals. We were there on location in the winner's circle. You heard him talking about his team. Now let's go back out to the winner's circle and hear from Red and Mike, the team, as well as a bunch of other guys are celebrating. We caught up with these guys because they are diehard WFO listeners. First Red, then Mike O'Gwynn from the winner's circle out there at Atlanta Dragway. We're here in the winner's circle with Red from the Matco Tools team, WFO listener. Works on Antron Brown's winning Top Fuel Dragster. Red, how are you feeling right now?
Oh, I'm feeling fantastic about our Mackle Tools U.S. Army Pennzoil Sandvik Dragster. It's running great. Today, first round, we heard it a little bit. Second round, we heard it again. But these Mackle boys, they don't give up. We just kept pounding at it, and we got it all together and came back and won everything. And even top it off, we picked up a screw in the road on the way to the lanes. We had changed tires before second round, too, and still got it all done. A lot of hard work today, but well worth it.
How does that happen? It seems like this is such a pristine environment, and it had to be shocking. And now you got to run and get a tire, and I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah. We changed a set of tires. A couple other different crews that were out already came over and helped us. People that wasn't affiliated with DSR. That's how much of a family it is out here. They're helping us, taking care of everything.
Antron said in the media center that this team is more of a family than it is a team. And he said that he knows every one of the guys, this means you,
he went bankrupt, he could come live at your house. Is that true?
Oh, that is very true. I even had Thanksgiving dinner at Antron's house before, and I believe Easter, too, at one time. So it is a big family. That's all we're out here for, to have fun, a good time, and try to win races.
Try to explain. You listen to the show. I want the listeners to know that you guys are in the truck, you and Mike. You guys are going over miles, and you revealed to me a while back that you guys listen to the show. You like it. This feeling, try to explain it. You know, every week there's a different winner, but the idea that you're walking out of here, you didn't get beat, you have the Wally, there's money associated, points, retaking a points lead. Try your best to explain to the people that log on every week to listen to the show what this moment feels like for you.
Oh, this moment's fantastic. I want to say we went low ET 6 out of 8 rounds this weekend and won the race and everything else. It is a true good feeling. It almost makes me want to cry.
That is awesome. Red, thank you very much for taking the time here in the Winner's Circle.
All right, thank you, Joe. Awesome. I'll be listening on Tuesday.
You hear yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be weird. You should try to say everything you said right here just to freak Mike out. Later.
Have a good day.
Well, let's walk over. We are still rolling. Mike O'Gwynn is taking photographs of the Matco Tools Top Fuel Dragster. We're in the Winner's Circle. Well, you've won. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It was a survival this Sunday. It was hot. It was muggy. I mean, they were hustling us lap after lap, and, you know, the car did flawless. This is the best car we've had in a long, long time.
And you guys have been working. Antron been saying that you guys have been working on some things, and it seems like you've got it figured out now. It's about to get hot. You're going to go to a bunch of races in a row. You're going to get a chance to flex your muscles.
Yeah, every time we go to the starting line, we're trying to be the best we can be. And, you know, this weekend, I think it proved that, you know, we're capable of, fully capable of. We got the stuff. We know what we're doing. And, you know, look out. Here we come.
First two-time winners of the year. Just ask Red. I'll ask you. You're out there. You listen to the show. So you know what we're trying to capture. It's for people to understand this moment, how big a deal it is, how hard you've worked, the relief of winning, and knowing that all those great teams out there, they were not as good as you on this given day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the, you know, always keep in mind, you look out there, you got all these cars that are so good out of your competitors, but it comes down to you only race one at a time. So you go out there and go as quick as you can down the track and let the chips fall where they may. So.
Now, recently you tweeted a picture of your pickup truck out of your local track with WFOradio.com shoe polished on the window. I, of course, retweeted it. How did you do that night? Were you bracket racing? Were you just making runs? What was going on?
Yeah, they was... my home track back home at Music City Raceway, I used to race there all the time back in high school, and track champion and stuff. Love that place, and always loved bracket racing. And we had an off weekend, so I went back home, and I did a little work to my truck trying to make it go faster this year, and went up there, and it was a Friday night, sort of a trophy bracket race sort of deal. Got down to 4 cars. It was pretty fun. Truck just needs a little bit more consistency, but I love going down there and having fun with all my friends and stuff down there.
Down to 4 cars. That is good enough. Semi-final. Yep. Mike O'Gwynn, thank you very much. Go celebrate.
All right. Thanks, man. WFO.
The Matco Tools team with us here on WFO Radio in the Winner's Circle out at Atlanta Dragway. I had a great time out there. It was a great crowd. Saw WFO Radio t-shirts in the grandstands. That was cool. Whenever you see the WFO shirts in the crowd, it's a good thing. That's good news for the show. And if you're a first-time listener or you've never heard the show before or you just stumbled upon us, well, that's great. Welcome, and hopefully you will be back every week. And we are working hard to make sure that you get behind the scenes with the NHRA, Mellow Yellow, and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. We want you to get to know these guys. We want you to get to know the teams, so you are as conflicted as we are at the tail end of the season when championships are on the line. Big stuff happening. Got Memorial Day this coming weekend. We have got all kinds of winter views coming up. Tim Wilkerson coming up. Kenny Lang on location coming up. Hector Arana coming up. Jason Line coming up. So stick around. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Memorial Day Holiday Pack Specials. That's right. A $28 value for $22. Bag of coffee, bottle of hot sauce, container of spice rub. You get the WFO Radio Blend Coffee. You get the Chipotle Mustard Fusion Hot Sauce and the Classic Barbecue Spice Rub. This is all for your barbecue on Memorial Day weekend. We know if you can't make it out to Topeka, there's a good chance you're going to be watching the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 and, of course, the Kansas Nationals and the Grand Prix of Monaco. You're going to be up all morning. You're going to be grilling. Why not be grilling and enjoying with a little Rodax Coffee and Grills.com? Give Marvin a call. You can get it there by the weekend. 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin, I hear you're doing another holiday pack special. Bag of WFO Radio Blend coffee, bottle of the Chipotle Mustard Fusion Hot Sauce, which is awesome. I was just enjoying some a little bit earlier today. And, of course, the Classic Barbecue Spice Rub, which you're going to want to put on everything. 817-924-6821. Tell Marvin you heard it on WFO Radio that you want the Holiday Pack Special. It's a $28 value for just $22. You get a bag of gourmet coffee, you get a bottle of incredible gourmet hot sauce, and the Barbecue Spice Rub is award-winning and to die for. Check it out. That's RodexCoffeeAndGrills.com. And the special is actually going to extend through Memorial Day, because the following weekend, Sunday night, 8 p.m., Rodax will be featured on the Cooking Channel as part of the show, The Big Bad Barbecue Battle. So you want to see behind the scenes, Rodax as woven into the storyline of The Big Bad Barbecue Battle? You can get the Rodax special between now and then, and you do a watch party like we're going to do. You're going to be enjoying, consuming, and watching all at the same time. Give him a call, 817-924-6821. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. That is the Memorial Day Holiday Pack Coffee, Sauce, Spice Rub. It will be an awesome race day on Memorial Day weekend with Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It was a weekend of popular victories. At the end of the day, I think everybody was pretty happy that this man brought home the Wally in Funny Car. Joining us now, driver of the Levi, Ray, and Shout Funny Car, along with Summit, along with a bunch of other people helping out, Tim Wilkerson joins us now. Wilk, welcome back to WFO.
Hey, thank you very much. I don't know if everybody was happy, but I sure was.
They
sure
were happy. They loved you. Now, you're loved by your competitors. They really like you. We all know that. That's true.
Well, because I said on TV, Dell and I talked about it first round, and, you know, we've all been friends forever, but, you know, when you go up there, you don't have any friends, and that's the way it works. But you know, we were upset we had to race each other first round because both of us want, you know, the same thing at the end of the year. We want to be in the countdown, so we got to do a better job and not race each other first round.
Yeah, it that's a random thing, though. And in the end, you have been running so well this season, and just being beaten by milliseconds, like tens of thousands of 1 second. And having watched the sport for a pretty long while, sometimes drivers will get the tune-up and figure it out and cash in. And other times they'll get the tune-up and figure it out and not cash in. And I was wondering, Timmy's got it, but will they be able to cash in? And you did.
Well, that's the thought. You know, I talk about my young crew, and that's exactly the problem there. Oh, God, boss, what do we got to do? You know, it kind of gets them down in the dumps a little bit. And I've always said, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think that it's deserving of every crew member out there, my team and everyone's, that all of them need to have a win. I mean, because it just gives you a little bit of gratification for your hard work, and because not only my team, but every team out there, they put their heart and soul into drag racing and to entertain the fans and to make all the people from Coca-Cola that are there this weekend with their Mellow Yellow brand, keep those folks happy. I mean, that's what it's all about. We're in the entertainment business, so, but you know, to win the race for my guys, that meant a lot to me, believe me.
I love watching you. I have a very unique perspective down there. I get to see you jump out of the car after good runs, after bad runs, and see you experience a range of different emotions, positive, negative, and otherwise. You had a timing malfunction when you went up there in qualifying, and it was basically a great run, especially given the session, but you didn't get a time. And at the moment it happened, you handled it exceptionally well. You made a joke, you moved on, and moments like that, people could potentially get caught up in the negativity of, oh, what a bummer, we just made a great run and it's lost. Instead, at least outwardly, you handled it in stride. You made a funny joke that everybody thought was funny, maybe except for Graham, but I think he thought it was funny too. And look, it worked out. It paid off. At that moment, could you have foreseen a victory? Because it had to be tough.
Well, like you say, I was on the radio, and that's probably why they didn't play any of that. I was screaming on the radio to my guys. I said, you know, this is bull, you know what. You go up there and you tell them guys that we either get another run or and then I got that out of my system before I got out of the car. So, I don't know. I really thought that the run would be okay, but when the light came on and the red light came on at the same time, I knew that I was tripping the guard beam, not the stage beam or the pre-stage beam. So I know enough about the timing system to know what I thought happened anyway. That it didn't know what I was, where I was at, and I did the math on a piece of paper, and it went 409, 408 probably. And I told Graham, I said, "Here's the math. I mean, it's a 410 minimum." And he said, "Well, I can't give you that. I can't just give you a random ET." I said, "Well, you already did give me a random ET. What do you think a 452 is?" So we had a good time with that, and so then the next round, of course, we're having some fun with it down at the other end. The tech guys are they're kind of digging me a little, you know. Hey, you think this one will count? I wonder if that one counts, you know. So that's why I come up with my good smart-ass comment. And Graham told me after the finals, he goes, I did really consider charging you for the downtime after that first qualifier because we're pretty sure that you're the guy that broke the racetrack.
So, the guy did.
He had a good time with it, too.
He's good. He turned it right back around on you. You broke the timing system. I hadn't considered that, but yeah.
That's what he told me. He said it was fine until you got up there. So.
But a negative situation turned into a positive situation. Something that's a bummer. A lot of experience riding in that seat with you. You brushed it off. You ventilated a little bit. And look at all the positivity that happened. You're able to go right back down the track again, lay down a good number, qualify sixth, but most consistent of the weekend without a doubt. Then first round against Dell Worsham, you already alluded to it. Dell puts up a 410 and loses. Tough heartbreak there. You were on the right side of it because you just threw it down. 4.035, I think that could be the run of the weekend.
Well, during the conditions, it probably was, yeah. I mean, you know, we were trying to do that on the night run there. And the thing just got through the clutch a little bit too much because the track was so good. And these cars are really, really strange how they operate. It's hard to make sense out of what they do sometimes. But, you know, when the track's really, really good, you're trying to accelerate the car with power, and sometimes it just gets through the clutch when it does that. Well, that track was just the right, perfect atmosphere for what I was trying to do in E1 there. So instead of going through the clutch, it accelerated the car. So anyhow, we were lucky to make that run. The guys, what's it going to run? I said, it'll run 404, 405 if it don't do anything wrong. Well, the track gave us another 100, you know. So, anyhow.
Entertaining stuff. Second round, you got to go up against a super team. Jack Beckman's got Jimmy Prock, got John Medlin, got Chris Cunningham, got Infinite Hero on board. And you guys just put it to him, 4.085 at 3.09, and you are moving on. So it's a Dell Worsham, Jack Beckman 1-2 punch in the first two rounds.
Yeah, we were lucky to get by those guys, really. They got a good car, and lane choice really was a huge deal. When I seen them run 4.06 first round, I thought, oh, crap. So I shallowed up as shallow as I can to see if I could make sure that, you know, that I did get lane choice. And unfortunately for everyone else, that left lane was a little tricky. Now, God bless Tobler. I mean, he did a great job in that left lane, two runs in a row there. He got himself down the racetrack, and then in the finals there he just didn't. He got a little too greedy. He was like me. But, you know, getting past Force in the semis, too, that was just terrific. We need to keep them guys back. You know, they're a strong team, and now Force is, he's back. He'll get his mind straight now that he's got Monster on board and keep his, so he's not spending his inheritance. So that's going to be a good thing for him. So they're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. He's got a young group there, too, with his new crew chief, and you know, Zippy's trying to keep all them guys going in the right direction. That's hard. Douglas is still doing a great job like usual, but we'll take a win over those guys any day of the week. Believe me, I'm trying to keep Ford happy. Believe it or not, I want to get them guys back. It was a good shot in the arm beating him in the semis. Believe me, I got a ton of Ford emails.
Oh, really? Yeah, let's. I was looking at your car, and I was thinking about that. Like, what is the future here? And I inventories of bodies and all these things that are out there. Last year, you blew one up at this track, and I was just thinking, what does the future hold? And you're telling me you're courting them. You're trying to make it happen. I think that would be a coup.
Oh, be great. Yeah, no, there's absolutely no doubt that I'd like to court them. I mean, they know the value of NHRA drag racing. They've just switched wheels a little bit. They're going to try some other stuff for a few years, but you know, they're when they decide to come back, hopefully they come back like they were before, and they're going to need a good car and somebody that stood behind them while they were gone, and that's going to be me. I mean, honestly, Bob Tasker got me involved with them. There's no doubt about that. Everybody knows that, but Bob's not racing anymore, and John's moved on, so. Maybe that's going to be a good opportunity for me someday. And like I say, I'm hoping they come back because you can't imagine the amount of fans that come up to me and go, man, you're the only Ford. We're sure glad you're still doing this. And that makes me feel good too. And hopefully it'll put a light on in somebody's, you know, radar at Ford Motor Company. And they'll say, you know what? Maybe we do need to be back in this deal and we could start out slow again and come back.
I certainly would love to see what that new Mustang looks like in funny car body vein.
Boy, me too. I thought the same thing.
Seriously, it's got to be out there. If the Camaro is going to be out there and Dodge Charger is out there, the Mustang is out there. Let's start the campaign here, folks.
Yep.
Ford for Wilkerson. Make it
there
happen.
You go.
Hashtag
yep.
Ford number four Wilk. How
there
about
you
that?
Go. That's a good one. Good job. Thank you, Joe.
That's what I do real quick. Ron Capps in the final round. I'm just looking at the ladder. You know, Capps, Force, Beckman, Worsham. That is not an easy day.
Well, no, there's no easy days. That's what I mean, I'm not beating my chest. Believe me, we've been down in the dumps the last few years, but I know that everybody that comes up to me says the same thing. We look at the ladder, we look at how your car runs. What the hell? We don't want to race you. I said, yeah. Well, guess what? I don't want to race you either. So every person I had that talk with, besides Forrest, because he don't even know. You know, he just gets in there and drives. But I had that talk last night with Proc and Cunningham, the Saturday night anyway, with Proc and Cunningham about that. It's like, I said, I don't even know what side of the ladder you guys on. And I looked at the ladder real quick, and I said, what the hell? You guys couldn't qualify any better than third? How come I got to race you second round? So we had a good time with that. And they said, whoa, what the heck? I said, well, that's if I get by Dell. Oh, man. So,
but,
yeah.
But you
who do you want to race, right? They're all tough.
They are all tough, and that's to the benefit of the fans. You mentioned we're in entertainment. You're certainly entertaining. And you win the race, and your guys. I want to talk about a stat that you brought up in the media center that I hadn't thought possible, and I ran it by a couple of people, and they just, in terms of time served, that Richard Hartman had never been part of a team that had won an NHRA national event. That's how you had positioned it, and he had obviously come over recently. You gave him a lot of credit to just being an extra set of eyes and there working well with you, and he gets his first event win. Your son Dan on the starting line, very emotional, in a positive way, of course. Like, that is a big, big deal. You got this youth movement on your team. But talk about Richard Hartman and that incredible statistic that you brought up.
Yeah, I didn't really even realize it either. Someone else had told me that, and I can't even tell you who told me that one at the time. But like you say, you think of a guy like him that is such of high quality, that's been around for so long, that drove for a long time, and then his family had that car for a long time, you know, and I really never realized that he'd never, ever been on a team that won an event, or he hadn't himself. So, the Wally went to Richard. We handed it to him in the winner's circle there, and there was tears in his eyes. It was very touching. But he's, you know, he's a great family guy. I like to relate him to that. He's like me. You know, he's here because he loves the sport. If he's on this team, he's not getting paid too much. So it's not like being on Forces or Schumacher's where you're making big money. And so I know that he's passionate, and we love him for that. So we're really excited to have him. And I can see the passion in him just the first few weekends. You know, he cares about the crew members more than he does himself, and he cares about me more than he does himself. And that's the kind of guy that I need, because I feel I'm the same way with my guys. You know, it's more important to me that they do well. Hell, I've won 18 national events. You know what I mean? I've never expected to win this many when I started out. I was just like Richard. I raced because I loved it. You know, we have a great stat where we got in the 4 second club on the same day together, and that was kind of cool. So, you know, we got a lot of things in common after we got talking about it, but mostly it's just our love for the sport.
Wow, 18 national events, Tim. That's getting up there. That's like tied with Shirley Muldowney, according to my unscientific numbers. That's pretty impressive. Over the years, you've been doing it, getting these wins, and doing it in a situation that you're not on one of the super teams. You're doing it your way.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt about it. The only win that I don't have that I was racing with someone else is when I was racing with the JCIT car, and that's with Terry Manzer tuning it, and we had a good car then, and poor old John Costanza just ran out of money there and was looking to do something else, and that was a shame because that was a really good group of people we had there also, you know, and Terry did a good job tuning it, and I was probably his weakest link driving. I saved him a few times, you know, with smoking the tires, and then he made us look good a few times tuning, so it really was a good combination there. And the rest of them I've won all on my own. I shouldn't say that. You know what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
As a crew chief, and that makes me really proud, believe me. I've had a lot of good kids over the years that worked on my cars, and I tell them all the same thing. You're never going to get paid enough to do this, and you got to want to be here. And they come and they go because, you know, the super teams hire them away from me. And then they, you know, they get married, and the life on the road's not a crewman's deal. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. But we're proud of our team, believe me, and really proud of how they work under pressure. And, you know, you hear that kind of crap all the time. And it's really not bullshit when I say it. I really am truly proud of my guys. And I really wish, again, too, that every crew member out there got to experience that.
Well, watching it, you know, cars come and go, and they keep coming, and another pair and another pair, and it's a different personality and a different group. The way your group works, where they come down, they set up the truck, you pop out of the car, you're telling them what to do, you can see you're like a field general. You have to lead. And it was interesting, I saw John Force this year almost taking a page out of your book, because he's got a young group too, and they need it. They need this leadership. And I said to myself, wow, Force reminds me of Wilkerson, because he's got to. And you drive the car back, like the tow vehicle. You get in the driver's seat. You drive it back. It's like you're doing everything. And I really think that the fans like and respond to that. It's an old school feel of the personality is also the driver, is the owner, is the tuner, is everything. And now you're in the $100,000 Traxxas Nitro Shootout. What's Bob Wilbur going to do if he doesn't have to do a campaign to get you in there on the fan vote?
I wonder what Bob Wilbur does every day. I'm not really sure. I'm just kidding you. No, I think that's fun. Him and I got together the other day after we won, and I said, you know what we need to do, Bob? We need to make this a money proposition. You need to tell him, listen, we'll start campaigning for you. If you're not in the Traxxas Shootout, we just get a part of the winnings if you win. So we'll use our power of votage.
That's how it works in real politics. You throw your support behind somebody depending on what they can do for you. I love it. Wilkes Warriors are out there. They want to vote for somebody, if not you. It's got to be someone.
That's right. That's right. Well, we got to help. We need the Traxxas car in there. So we got to get Courtney a win before it goes over. We got the old fart in there. We got old John in there already. So we need to get Courtney in there and Robert. But if they don't make her in there, then we'll just go from there. I'm not even sure who's in. We don't have any Toyotas in there yet, do we?
No, I guess not.
No. So we'll hope for Dell or Chad or Cruz, one of them guys. Or Lexus. We need a diverse group in there, because that's what's going to get Ford back. You know, we need to explain to them that they have customers out here. And if we got Toyotas and Chevrolets both in the group, then we got a Ford in there now. So that's going to be a positive twist on it all. You know, long ago I had an argument with a guy from Napa. And you know what's really cute is that guy was there this weekend. His name's Mike Reardon. He's a super guy. And he called me one time. We were talking about the Napa sponsorship. This is back in the 90s. I don't know if you remember, but I had Napa on my car in 96. Do you know that?
I was there, but I don't know it.
Yeah, if you look back in 1996 when I got in the 4 Second Club, I was had Napa all over my car, and he called me one day talking about it. And he's like, Tim, you know, we're going to go into NASCAR because that's where it needs to be, and da 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 da. You know, I said, man, you guys got competition out here. You got it. I think at that time there were a couple different auto parts stores out there, and I don't even remember which ones they were, but I never forget his comment. It was really cute. He says, Tim, those people really aren't competition to Napa Auto Parts. And I told him, I said, that's probably the same thing Kmart used to say about Walmart.
Yes.
And he said, whoa, that's an eye-opener. I said, well, I'm just telling you that you need to pay attention out here. Well, then as soon as things got good, and, you know, Napa's a great company, and they've been making a lot of money for a lot of years, and they decided to come into drag racing. You know, I mean, you really can't doubt them for who they showed up with there, because Caps is a great representative for any sponsor. And Schumacher, of course, is going to do a terrific job with hospitality and the things that they do. So, but I like to fun them about that, you know, that they forget the old guy that got them started in this deal, and that was me.
I love that, and that's a perfect segue to, I guess, what will be my final question. I will also ask you about Kansas. I know you're super busy also. But what do you want for? What do you need for? As you got all these fans, and people love you, and you're a great personality, and you're doing it, I won't say a shoestring, because I know that's not the case, but you definitely manage what you have in the best way possible. But are you wanting for a big hospitality area? Would you like that? Is that a goal, or are you kind of content doing it this way in the framework that you have? Or are you trying to ink that huge deal? I know Levi Ray and Schaup help you out, Summit help you out, and got you in a situation that you're making it work. But I think about the championship, and I think about when it comes down to those final six races, is Tim going to have what he needs to have to beat the Napa team, the John Force team? You mentioned horsepower, clearly. And come those cold months and those cool races, you really need to be able to put it to the ground. What do you see as potentially possible, and what do you want for as a team in these next couple of years. You clearly can win with what you've got, but if you had more, I bet you could win more.
Well, there's, you know, what's the old adage? Speed costs money, how fast you want to go. You know, never am I going to discount the loyalty and the dollars that Dick Levi and Levi Ran Shop spend on this race car. Dick and I have talked about it tons of times. He's like, Tim, you know, I know what I give you. And I show Dick what I spend. I mean, we talk about it constantly because I'm always wanting more, right? I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I got a 10-year-old trailer and only one of them. You notice I don't have a big engineering trailer that we work out of, right? So, you know, could I spend $3.5-4 million a year? Yeah. Would it make my car any faster? Probably not. And when I tell Dick that, he goes, okay then. So that's probably a dumb thing to do, but I'm honest to a fault, and I don't want him to think that I don't appreciate what he does for me, you know. But yeah, we could use more money, Joe. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, I try my best to do what I can with what I have, and we quite frankly have more parts than we've ever had now. But I don't have one pair of new cylinder heads. Every cylinder head I got came from Steve Torrance. I bought them all used. All my blowers are 3 to 4 years old. But I have great people, Rich Schindel from Quality Repair Service in Minnesota. He's really just a great guy. Him and I go through those blowers every year, and we blueprint them and tune them up. But hell, the rotors in them blowers are 5 or 6 years old. I don't have anything new. And we went over with Richard when we brought him on how we like to do them. And the great thing about Richard is he's a machinist. So he does it perfect every time, and you could tell by how consistent my car is. But we could use stuff, no doubt about it. But I'm never going to complain about what I have. My wife has a great saying: "What do you think all the unloved, miserable people are doing today? Whether we get beat first round or we win the race." So, but you know, we got a shop that's 3,500 square feet, and could we use a bigger shop? Sure, but I don't know that it'd make a difference at the end of the day. It just make me wealthier, and when I got the people that I have around me, and I have my sponsors, I have, you know, wealth is that's secondary.
But at the same time, you could be helping a big corporation out there grow.
Oh, yeah.
Grow their product.
Yep.
Because people like you, like
no
you,
doubt about it,
you're a very popular guy.
Dick Levi and I have talked. We talk about it every year. If the $3 million deal comes around, Tim, I'm gone, and I love you, and I'll give you a hug, and I'll miss every weekend that we could have been there. And he says that. He's a great, great guy. But he's got a budget, and, you know, they're only I think they're $160, $180 million a year company. They're not a huge, huge company, you know. So that being said, you know, they're spending their entire advertising budget on me, which is, I mean, how can you ask a company to do more than that, right?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have to go. He could just do like a couple of races or be
yeah.
an associate. You know
well,
what I mean?
I told him the same thing. But he's spoiled now. Come on, Joe. You're just like the rest of us. You don't want to have it all and then have half of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
He's just like the rest of us. He goes, hell, I've had it all for 16 years. You ain't going to give me half of it and expect me to be happy.
Yeah, so. No, I get it. Hey, let's focus on Kansas because we got to get another, speaking of campaigns, rolling. There was a little confusion. People weren't sure, is the race going to happen with what's going on with the track? And so we're assuring and reassuring people in that part of the country that if they're looking for something cool to do this Memorial Day weekend, get out to the Kansas Nationals at Heartland Park, Topeka. You're coming in as the most recent race winner. This track has been on the tour for a long time. I remember when they built it. It was a big, big deal. Give me your thoughts heading into Kansas, and maybe you can go back-to-back.
Well, cool's going to be the word. If you looked at the weather, it's going to be high in the 60s until Sunday.
Really?
So, yeah, it's ugly cold. So, I don't know. Excuse me from coming off the race we just had where the track was tricky because of the heat. It's going to be 180 degrees there. We're going to be it's going to be standing on the gas. Everybody's going to be fast every run, and it's going to be definitely going to be a test of how fast you can go. I'm sure that guys like, you know, Jimmy Prock and Zippy and them, you know, the guys that are real, real fast all the time, they're licking their lips right now looking at that weather. So, but it'll be great for the fans to come out. It's just going to be cool every day. So bring your sweatshirts, and you're going to see some good, exciting Mellow Yellow and HRA drag racing. That's for sure. We're excited about going there, and hopefully we can do that back to back deal that you just talked about. You know, we have the ability to win every weekend now. I think we proved it. with anything. Anything that can happen will. But we're excited about it. Tell you the truth, I'm looking at the weather right now as we're talking. I just pulled it up on my computer, and it's got a flash flood watch for Tuesday night.
Oh. So,
it's just west of there, but that means it's headed that way. So hopefully we can get it to go by. And Friday we'll have a huge, huge crowd, and if all the you know, the fans in that area would come out and support that track, that'll prove that the city and everybody around there that we don't need to lose that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Very vital, vital. A big event means reassess the situation. A not big event means they're going to do whatever happens. So
yeah, and that's what we don't want. I mean, LRS has a huge, huge following in Kansas City. We have a big hospitality there on Saturday. So for my sponsor, I don't want to lose the race.
Absolutely. And this is one where drag racing fans can vote with their feet by going out to the track and enjoying. Now, Tim, it was too long since the last time you appeared on one of our winner's editions. Like, we can't have it be that long again. You're too good an interview.
Well, I don't know if I'm a good interview. I'm as full of crap as they come. There's no doubt about that. But I really appreciate you guys always having me on. I appreciate seeing you at the other end, too. The fun part about talking to you and talking to the fans is you're right. I really enjoy them, and the people coming up and clapping for you and giving you, you know, attaboys, that just goes a long way. My crew is just, that's all they talked about. And we went out to dinner Sunday night, and they talked about how sweet everybody was when they were coming to get me going down the track, that everyone in the stands were standing up clapping. And so I tell you what, that goes a long way, fans.
Absolutely. Tim, thank you so much. We hope you go a long way as well, and we're talking to you very, very soon. Thanks for coming on WFO Radio and giving us the behind the scenes of your big win.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Wilkerson with us here on WFO Radio. What a great interview. Lots of information. Need to have Tim on more often. He's courting Ford. He wants Ford back, all the Ford fans. There's a rallying cry right there since we're into the cause biz lately. I like that one. Get Ford back in funny car racing with Tim Wilkerson. I like it. To carry the flag, to carry the banner. Then you got all the major manufacturers out there. That would be great. And Tim clearly is a really personable character, hardworking, working with his guys, young crew, and you just inherently want to see him be successful. So I think it is great. We've got more to come. We have got Jason Line, going to talk about his big pro stock win, going to talk about winning at the Summit Racing Equipment Southern Nationals, going to talk about his big match race against Reinhardt, going to talk about the fact that there's bobbleheads out there with Jason Line. That's cool. All kinds of things happening around the Summit Racing Equipment team of KB Racing. He and Greg in the final round. Going to talk to Hector the Hammer Arana, a nickname that was given to him in South Florida by Lenny Baticki. What's up, Lenny? Who does a great show on PRN about short track racing. Gave him the nickname Hector the Hammer way back in the day, and the Hammer hammers him out there at Atlanta Dragway. And then we'll hear from Kenny Lang, Pro Modified winner, another Summit Racing driver. So stick around, but first I want to tell you about the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you've never driven a dragster, this is a great program that you're absolutely going to love. Get out the envelope. Listen, every week we tell the WFO Radio audience to put aside a little bit of resource, to go through the couches, go through the car, put aside a couple of bucks, and then go to frankhawley.com and go to the Dragster Adventure part of the website and see exactly when they're coming to an area near you. They travel around the country, whether it be Maple Grove or Houston, wherever it happens to be, they are out there. They're going to be in Gainesville throughout the month of May. In June, they'll be in Denver, Colorado, June 12th. Any WFO listeners out there in Denver? Check them out. June 12th. There's a full list of dates and locations. Bottom line, it starts at $399 for a day of great fun that you will remember forever. Multiple runs down the racetrack, and you're behind the wheel. It's not a ride-along. You're not out of control. You're controlling everything that happens. The acceleration, the reaction time, the braking. Then you come back, you reset, you do it all again. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO. If you have any questions, run it by them. If you've got a group, they do group events all the time, and it's happening more and more often that business owners are saying to themselves, you know, we could have a party, or we could do something like paintball, but that's been done before. What's new, fresh, exciting? What's unique? What will these people truly remember forever? And the Dragster Adventure is the answer. So do you have a group of clients that you want to reward for being great clients that they will say to themselves, my goodness, I got to keep doing good business with this person because they come up with great ideas. The Dragster Adventure is for you. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. Yeah, I heard it on WFO Radio. They'll let you break it up into four easy payments over the phone. 866-480-7223. And WFO Radio listeners, you clearly like drag racing. You love NHRA. Now it's time for you to get the experience. And then maybe you'll want to do a licensing class in Super Comp or Super Gas, maybe even an alcohol funny car. You can do all of that at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. But I think it all starts with the Dragster Adventure. Check it out at frankhawley.com. When we return, Hector Arana going to talk about his Lucas Oil motorcycle and winning this past weekend Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals at Atlanta Dragway. Then we'll hear from Kenny Lang, and then I'll give you a couple of my thoughts about the ATL when we return right here on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Hi. I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
It's not just a race, it's the place. A place to set up a tent, park the RV, and start emptying the cooler. A place to fire up the grill in the Tennessee Hills and take in the best short track racing in NASCAR. The place is the Last Great Coliseum, Bristol Motor Speedway. Hope you'll join us on April 19th for the Food City 500. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit bristoltix.com. It's not just a place.
It's Bristol, baby!
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals in the books, rain free. We got winners. Time to jump into pro stock with this guy. It's been a couple weeks since we spoke with him, but he is back, Jason Line. Jason, congratulations.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show.
Is there a bigger or better race to win than a Summit Racing Equipment race, especially in their region of the country? It was a tremendous weekend for those guys sponsoring this race with you and Greg making the final.
I can't really think of a bigger one, not right now anyway. So, no, I mean, that's a huge deal. And, you know, those folks they're paying us a lot of money, and we're part of their team. And for them to see that they're getting their money's worth, is, you know, a huge deal, because, you know, obviously it's very difficult to go to the track and not lose. I mean, generally speaking, you're going to lose a lot more race than you're ever going to win. So to have them there and have all the brass there is a big deal.
And when we get nice weather, it just shows you that the people in that region love drag racing. I felt like the crowd was great. Not only were they in mass, but they also were very passionate. They seemed connected to the racers and fired up about what was going on the track.
There's no doubt, and it was a great race and a great crowd, and that's a good thing because, you know, you hear a lot of negative talk about motorsports in general, and, you know, going to Atlanta this weekend, you would have you'd have had a hard time finding something bad to say. A lot of folks there, and I signed a lot of bobbleheads, I can tell you that.
The bobblehead is something I want to get into. Well, let's do it right now while we're talking round by round. Do you have any idea how big a deal this bobblehead is? The greats of the great throughout history in all sports, one of the ways that they are enshrined in our collective memory forever is through a bobblehead, and there's not too many drag racers that I can think of that have a bobblehead out there. You now have one, and you are represented in the WFO radio studios right now with it. You're in your little car. It's got a convertible top for your bobbling head to stick out. This was a great idea. Who came up with this?
Well, I don't know about all that stuff, but I can tell you that my 7-year-old thought it was the greatest thing ever. So she was enthralled by the thing. So honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But I sort of chuckled at it at first. But really, it was cool. And I mean, I signed a lot of them, and I thought it was a great thing. So I think it was. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? So. It's cool, and the Camaro looks good. It was really a nice deal.
Well, it's also a collectible that will stand the test of time. It's a little bit different compared to the stuff we normally see, and I kind of think that drag racing fans, especially over the past couple of years, maybe missed out on this kind of collectible, you know, something that takes a little bit extra investment. They had to design this thing. They had to make, I'm sure, a minimum number. And that's when you put it up against, like, go fast stuff. What are we going to do? Are we going to build a new engine or make a set of bobbleheads? Very often it's spend the money to go fast. But this is the kind of thing that sits on someone's desk, and they're thinking about you and thinking about Summit even when racing is not on their mind.
Yep, that's very true. And like I said, it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. And I've had a lot of requests from you know, friends and family and whoever to get them. So hopefully they don't run out. But it was a cool deal.
Very, very cool. Let's talk about your round by round. And really, you number one qualifier, but you've had solid performance for the past couple of races. Out there in Houston, you had a very strong car and had said some things on the microphone about, look, the car is there. It's where I want it to be. And you're able to cash in here in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, my car's been really good, and I felt like, you know, I should have more wins than I have this year, and I haven't done as good a job as I need to, and obviously you can make any excuse you want, but the bottom line is I have to be honest, I haven't done as good a job as I need to do, so as simple as that, and you know, I'm working on it, but it's one of those things, and we were fortunate enough to come out of there with the win this weekend, so it feels really good, and I got a little bit fortunate, but you know, there's plenty of times where I didn't, so, you know, the racing gods, they threw me a bone.
Could it be, let's make some excuses, or just entertain them at very least, when you've got full emphasis on the car and you really got it going on where you want it to be, is that because you're putting more attention into that aspect of it as opposed to worrying about your driving? Maybe if you don't have the car, you might focus on, boy, I need a great reaction time here. I need to be the driver to win these races. How does that work, the percentage of attention that you can devote to those two different parts of being successful?
Well, your hard drive is only so big, and mine is probably smaller than most. So it's very true. I put more emphasis on that, and I also have three other cars to worry about as well. But that's it's still just an excuse. That just means I need to do a better job, that's all. And you know, whether or not I'm capable of that, sometimes I wonder. But you know, it is a hard thing. And my role is not just to drive the car; it's to help tune the engines. You know, so that's a big part of my job. So the bottom line is, I just need to, you know, do a better job. I mean, you can make an excuse, but it's just that; it doesn't do anything for you. You have to be honest about it and say you need to do a better job. So simple as that.
Well, it's easy to, or better to, talk about those kind of things on weekends where you don't need an excuse and you've won in the first round. Alan Przenski, new character out there in Pro Stock. We're seeing some of these other cars, guys like John Gadosh, guys like Alan, come out and get a taste. And Kenny Delco out there with a new car. That's kind of cool, seeing people I know we could also say, well, I wish there was 22, 24 cars, but it's nice that guys that are coming down, giving it a ride, are making the show and getting a chance to experience race day.
Absolutely, and, you know, we need new blood in there, and, you know, Alan's from, he's a New Jersey guy, and Kenny's from up there somewhere as well, you know, Frank Iaconio engine in there, so, you know, it's cool to see Frank still doing it. I mean, I hope when I'm, when I get older, I still have the passion and the desire to be involved in some way as well, so, that's great. We need everybody to come out, so, it was really, really cool, and, I think it's the second time, unfortunately for him, I think it's the second time I've had to race him, but, you know, he's definitely, they're going to keep working at it. They're, I give him credit for trying because it's somewhat of a daunting task for sure.
And when you're number 16 qualifier, you get introduced to the number one qualifier every week. And so you're going to get the trial by fire that they talk about.
You bet. I don't want him to hate me, but at the same time, I don't mind racing as long as my light comes on.
Isn't that the truth? Second round, Larry Morgan. Who is more fired up and motivated in 2015 than Larry Morgan? He's got a whole new program, got new horsepower, and we spoke with him a couple weeks back after that four-wide win. He really legitimately believes that this is a potential championship year for him. Goes out there, actually outruns you. You run 657 in the first round, 657 in the second round, but you're able to beat him on the starting line. So the driver earning his money right there.
Yeah, Larry does have good stuff, and he is no question going to be a contender for sure. And you know, we didn't run as good on Sunday as we did on Saturday, that's for sure. And I hate to try to win with my left foot because it's not as good as my right one. But you know, whatever, you got to do what you got to do. And I was lucky enough that you know, he was a bit tardier than me, so that worked out okay.
Semifinals, got to go up against Roger Brogdon. Another racer who is flexing new muscle, got the Elite Motorsports power after several years of kind of find their way, trying to figure out every aspect of the car to make up for deficiency under the hood. Now they've got the power and a good car, but you were able to get around Roger as well.
Yeah, they were. They didn't make a very good run that time. And, you know, Roger's been driving good. He's won a race already this year. And they're certainly tough. Everybody's tough right now. I mean, it's a... You know, the field is so tight. I mean, you know, you may not have 22 cars, but boy, you got 14 really good ones, and the last couple are certainly getting better. So, you know, anybody you race, you can't take them for granted.
Semifinals, the other side of the ladder, Erica and Greg, and that's just always so much fun. Clearly, Greg this year gets the monkey off his back with a big win and is now back to his winning ways. He claims because it's got a red car, his reaction times are really strong, 15-15. He's able to shut Erica down. And now you guys are both in the final round at your sponsor's race, and so there's got to be a little bit of a release there because business-wise, it's already successful.
Yeah, well, I would say more than a little bit. It's a huge relief. So no question about it, big relief. And at that point, you know, we won. Team Summit won. So whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I felt like I was definitely in trouble. The left lane, I think, was the least preferred lane for sure. And didn't really think I was going to come out of there holding the volley, that's for sure. And I got lucky, but that's okay. I'll take it.
You got it. It happens. It happens to a lot of people, get a lot of luck at every race. You just don't know where it's going to go.
You bet. I've been on both sides of it, and will continue to be. So that's just part of racing. That's why you don't do it on paper. You got to go up there and actually let the clutch out.
Greg with a 13 reaction time in the final, so he was really coming at you.
Yeah, Greg is he's very hungry right now, and I don't really envy anybody who has to race him because he is, and trust me, he's going to get better and better as the year goes. He's going to be a handful, no question about it.
Points lead now in your possession, 32 ahead of Erica, Greg in third, 69 back. And kind of watching this thing take shape in 2015, I know we're a long way ahead of the countdown, but we know who the players are going to be. And judging on what happened last year in the championship, the drama, final race, final round, final run, there's no doubt it's going to be similar here in 2015.
I think that's a fair statement for sure. So, you know, they're tough. They're definitely going to be tough. And we got a lot of momentum right now, and a lot of good things going on for us. So I think we're going to get stronger and stronger as the year goes, no question about it. And you know, hopefully the end result is just slightly different than it was last year. Hopefully it's Greg and I coming down to the final round. That'd be a really cool thing. So obviously it was fun to watch, and even though I came out on the wrong end of it last year, it was still, you know, it's fun to be part of it.
couple of thousandths of a second here or there across the season, the results are totally different. And I really feel like it wasn't that long ago, Jason, that we were talking about, wow, pro stock, what's going to happen? Is the class atrophied? What's going on? How quickly things can change. Now suddenly I feel like there's a renewed interest. You got Bo Butner out there in a KB prepped car. He's a real talented racer, a personality coming out of the Lucas Oil ranks. He knows how to win races. Car's great looking. What has it been like to work with Bo? And of course, added responsibility for you guys as you continue to try to win championships for yourself. You got another car out there.
I'm not sure how I would sum that up. He entertaining for sure. He has quite a cast of characters with him, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's going to continue to be a lot of fun. And he is going to win races. There's no question about it. He's a good driver, talented guy, and he's very smart, and he's always thinking and always trying to improve, and he's very honest with himself about everything. So I've really enjoyed getting to know him and their whole crew, that's for sure.
He had a write-up in the Dragster recently about his licensing deal, and I guess he said that Greg had given him instructions to run to X point of the track, and he ran beyond X point of the track because he was just loving it, like, wow, this is awesome. And Greg, like, shaking his head at him, like, yeah.
That was me, actually.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. So he, maybe his listening skills need a little honing, but he just chuckled, and I felt like actually I was telling Greg to go that far because he doesn't listen to me either. So whenever we break out a new car, Rob will always tell him, go to half track and shut it off, and he'll say, yeah, no problem. And he said I'll do the first half and then I'll do the second half. So, and that's what he does. But they're both hardcore racers, and really, really good personality in there. They're both characters for sure.
Well, that's what we need. That's what we like, and that's what's going to do well for Pro Stock. It's very cool. Now, the new Camaro was released, the 2016 Camaro 6. Did you get a chance to look at it? Have you had any behind-the-scenes insight being a Camaro racer, and what is your general impression of it now that it has been revealed?
It's cool. It's cool looking. Of course, I'm a huge Camaro fan. Always have been, and right from 67. So Camaro's it's an icon, and it's a cool car, and I'd like to have one. I haven't been able to talk GM into giving me one yet, so it looks like it's probably going to be a while, but they're really cool cars.
Absolutely. I think they did a great job with the unveiling as well, created a lot of buzz. Speaking of buzz, this weekend, Kansas, Memorial Day weekend, the greatest single day in all of racing. NHRA is in on it.